Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Wednesday morning. And it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Happy June, everybody.
Happy June. It's good to be here. Good to be here in June, talking a little hockey. Adam, I want to start with you. We've been talking about this all morning long. Darren Donica Chase talked about this yesterday as well. Is this past season for the Predators a success? Do you consider this season a success? What would your answer to that question be?
It's a complicated question because I think you can see it from both sides. So ultimately, the Predators ended up where I think a lot of us thought they would. They were a bubble team, finished in fourth place in the Central Division, and lost in the first round. I think in January, we all would have said that seems like their likeliest trajectory. Although they had to hit rock bottom to get there, they ended up where we expected them to be. If you look at some of the deeper things of the season, and you touched on them already, you know, you discovered that UC Saros has what it takes to be a true number one goaltender in the NHL, a question that we were asking ourselves midway through this season when he was hurt in early March and had an .895 save percentage at the time. I also believe he had a goals against average of above .300. A lot of young players have emerged and represent the next generation. Elie Tolvanen, Tanner Jeannot, Matthew Olivier, Jakob Frenin, Alex Carrier, et cetera, et cetera. So that is a good thing. John Hines is the right coach for this team at this time. This is a team in transition. John got what he needed to get out of this group in the second half of the season. I know that UC Saros played out of his mind from mid-March through mid-May, but this turnaround, this 27-1 turnaround that they had does not happen without John Hines. So I believe that is a positive as well. So I think I do not consider this season a success in the sense that they overachieved, but there are reasons to be optimistic about this team at the end of a postseason run for the first time in at least 3 years. You mentioned earlier the 2017-18 team won the President's Trophy, lost in seven games in the second round to the second-best team in the league, the Winnipeg Jets. You know, since then, 2019 first-round loss to Dallas, nothing to feel hopeful about after that. 2020 qualifying round loss to Arizona, nothing to feel optimistic about after that. There are reasons at least to feel good about some things about this team after this first-round loss to Carolina, but they are still no closer to being a Stanley Cup contender. So it's a complicated question, but I think you can consider this season a slight success in the sense that for the first time in 3 years, as you sit back and look at how the season played out, there are reasons to have a glass-half-full look at some things compared to the past two seasons where, frankly, there was nothing to feel good about.
Okay, so how optimistic then? You just said, you know, but not like they're not in contention realm right now. I mean, is that a place they can get to quickly, or no?
I think it's going to take a little while. I think it's going to take a couple years. You know, earlier in the season when they were bad and we were talking about a full scale rebuild, I remember Jared went apoplectic because I told him it was going to take 3 to 5 years for them to be a legitimate contender again. I don't think it's going to take that much time, but at least I feel like the team is again, I don't know if they've taken a step in the right direction, but at least they're pointed in the right direction again. Maybe they took a baby step in the right direction, but at least they're looking at that direction again. Over the past couple of years, they've been facing the wrong way. But, you know, what the question is what is it going to take for the Predators to start moving back in that right direction? I think some elements are in place there, as I just previously laid out. But at the end of the day, this core group, as we've talked about for years, that gets paid a lot of money, has not elevated its game to the level it needs to in order to get this team at a championship level. And I think it's important this offseason, and we'll talk to David Poile tomorrow, by the way. I think it's important this offseason that David takes a non-emotional, I guess for lack of a better term, look at this core group and realizes that something needs to change. This, you can't keep running this same group back and hoping that the secondary players, you know, figure it out. So, you know, I would be surprised if all of the core members of this team are back next year. And by core, and your definition of the core might vary. Mine includes Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Matthew Shane, and Victor Arvidsson. That's my core group.
Yeah.
And if I would be surprised if all seven of them are back next year.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, absolutely. Let's build on that for a second, because I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I think there's a thought process out there that with the expansion draft coming up, that just means that one of Johansson and Duchesne's not going to be back next year. There's the Seattle's going to take one of them off the hands of the Predators, and that they'll have one of those contracts out from underneath them. I think the chances of that happening are very, very small. I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I don't think that's very likely at all. So what do you think happens in expansion? How do the Predators handle it? And what do you think the likelihood is that both Duchesne and Johansson are back on this team, back in this lineup next year?
That's a good question. I think I would give it a greater than 50% chance that both of those players are back on this team next year. I would give it a 0% chance that both of them are no longer on the team next year. And I'd probably give it like a 20% chance that one of them is not on the team next year. And you're right, Robbie, that there seems to be this misconception that if the Predators expose one or both of them to the Seattle Kraken in the expansion draft next month, that Seattle is going to be jumping for joy to take one of those players. We saw it in the Vegas expansion draft 4 years ago. There are, you know, you would hope that GMs are a bit savvier when it comes to making these, you know, side deals than they were back then, but it did cost a lot for teams to convince the Golden Knights to take certain players, multiple draft picks, first round picks. I think the example everybody uses is the fact that Florida gave Vegas their top two scorers, Jonathan Marchessault and Riley Smith. One thing that needs to be cleared up, and one thing that I think is an interesting wrinkle in all of this, is so when we talk about the two methods of expansion, there's a 7-forward, 3-defenseman, 1-goaltender option, and there's an 8-skater and 1-goaltender option. Most people assume, understandably so, that the 8-skater option means 4 forwards and 4 defensemen. That's incorrect. It can be any combination of 8 skaters. The New York Islanders in 2017 protected 5 defensemen,
yep,
and 3 forwards from the Vegas Golden Knights. So could the Predators realistically protect Roman Josi, who, by the way, has to be protected, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Alex Carrier, and Dante Fabbro? Yes, it could happen. Then you have to determine which 3 forwards you want to protect, which is a completely different conversation. But, you know, this is just my gut. This is not based on any reporting. This is just my gut that one of those two $8 million forwards will be protected and the other will be exposed. I don't believe that both of them will be exposed. I think one of them will be exposed. If I had to choose, it would be Matthew Shane who would be exposed. But, I mean, there's going to be a plenty of talk and plenty of speculation over the next 6 weeks between now and July 17th when the Predators and the rest of the NHL have to submit their protection list. You know, I think there is a greater than 50% chance that both Matthew Shane and Ryan Johansson are on the roster next season.
Well, if I'm no math major, but actually I think you're saying there's an 80% chance, right? Because you said 20%. You said 20% that one of them will be gone. So that's 80% that they both will be back. Right?
It's good math.
I think so. I just wanna,
you're talking to a guy who had to repeat 11th grade math in his freshman year of college. So, you're not, your math is not my expertise. That sounds right.
We all could use an extra abacus. So, okay, so if they did that, let's say they did that and they, protect your hands. I mean, if I'm the Kraken, I'll take Yarn Croker Sissons then, I'll take a nice, versatile bottom six. Yarncrow can play all over the place at a very low rate, and thank you. And I feel good about what I've done for my team. I'm not taking Duchesne.
Right, and that's the thing that David Poile will have to consider is it worth paying a significant amount of extra assets to convince Seattle to take Matt Duchesne, for example? Would the Predators rather bring Matt back and hope that in his third season he finally stops being unlucky? Or do you say, okay, we will give you a first-round pick or a second-round pick or prospect X so that you can have him and we don't have to worry about it anymore? I mean, those are conversations I'm sure that have already been had within the Predators front office. I mean, what would be worse? Keeping Matt Duchesne or Ryan Johansson, or guaranteeing that one of them won't be on the roster, but mortgaging future assets. If the Kraken want Rem Pitlick, do you do it? If they want Rem Pitlick in a second round pick, do you do it? Is that worth it? Losing a player who could be a third line, fourth line center for your team? And a mid-round or high draft pick just to guarantee that Matt Duchesne won't be on the roster next year? I mean, those are very hard questions, and I do not envy the Predators' front office as they figure this out.
Absolutely. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Adam, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll continue to talk about the Predators on the other side. Got some of your thoughts to get to as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.